Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone. It's Belinda Ellsworth here, and I'm so excited that you've joined us at Work From Your Happy Place. Today is going to be a great show. We have Carrie Houtanian-Smith with us today. Carrie is a natural when working alongside business owners and entrepreneurs, keeping one goal in mind, growing their business. Whatever that translates into building brand awareness or creating marketing and sales strategies to tap into existing clientele base or specialized niche, Carrie has proven her abilities to develop and implement solid result-driven action plans. Having a diverse background in retail, hospitality, event production, and promotions, in 1993, Carrie started a joint venture, building a startup media company, growing revenue to nearly $100 million before selling in 2007. After the sale of the company, she stayed on with the new organization, being an integral part of their aggressive acquisition strategy, 5 companies in 18 months, growing revenue to over $500 million. Carrie's 20-plus years in executive management and passion for media marketing has been the dominant motivation in her professional life. As a highly regarded, dynamic, and successful-oriented business executive, Carrie develops practical strategies and tactics to support accelerated growth in highly competitive industries. Recognized as a talented and accomplished leader, she creates and executes marketing strategic plans, direct integrations, marketing automation, manages projects, and establishes benchmarks for success. Her expertise in fostering winning cultures within organizations increases productivity while reducing costs in mission-driven environments. I am so excited. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So why don't you just fill in a few of the gaps here and just tell us a little bit more about you and a little bit about yourself so we get to know you a little bit more personally.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So, as you just mentioned, I was in corporate America since 1993, actually prior to that, but my career really started in 1993. And in 2012, I decided to leave corporate America, which was a pretty bold decision on my part, I guess. And really the reason why is I had built several companies and divisions within different companies. And after the 20 some odd years, I kept waking up in the morning just feeling like, I can't get out of bed and do this anymore. It just wasn't fulfilling as it once was. And it dawned on me, I really needed to be part of a bigger overall mission that I felt was going to be something bigger than what I was already doing. So that journey started off with leaving a really structured environment and transitioning into my next chapter, which was leaving corporate America. And when I left, I had a consulting job, if you will, to work in the same industry. So although it was risky, I had something that I was jumping to. And looking back, it was probably jumping out of the pot into the frying pan. But I knew it was something that I needed to do to get out of my comfort zone and really feel alive again, instead of just feeling like that robot waking up every morning and going into my corporate job and just, you know, doing whatever was in front of me. So when I left my corporate job and I, you know, started this consulting, opportunity, it didn't last for as long as I had hoped. And I found myself, really struggling, going from that structured environment into this unstructured environment, with a partner, if you will, that neither one of us really knew how to handle this transition. So that ended abruptly. And I found myself thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm a single mom. I just left a really great, secure job, if there's such a thing, with great benefits and a solid paycheck. And now here I am with a pretty high overhead because I was used to living a certain lifestyle. And I didn't know what I was going to do. So I went and dusted off my resume. And I giggle about that because the last time I wrote a resume was in 1991. And when I pulled it out, it was, I don't know if your listeners will even know what this is, but it was on a dot matrix printer. You know, it still had the you know, roughly sides, and the font was really funky. And I looked at my experience on there and I thought, oh my gosh, how do I take this resume that is, you know, really should be registered as an antique and, you know, make it be what I've done for all of these years. So, you know, I went down that path of trying to build a resume and trying to go get a new job. And along the way, I was asked to speak on some different marketing panels. And I thought, you know, I really need to fulfill my dream of just opening and running my own retail. So I started down the path of doing that. Again, I was asked to speak on some different marketing panels and I was looking for a job. So I had a lot of different doors that I was knocking on to look at to say, okay, what's next for Carrie? And I decided to move forward and open, of all things, a coffee shop. It was a lifelong dream. And I really immersed myself into knowing how to do it. I went to coffee school. I'm actually a barista. It was a great experience. I met amazing people. But what kept me up every night was, how am I going to compete with my competition? My competition just isn't Starbucks. My competition is, you know, the local gas station or, you know, whoever sells coffee. And I became obsessed with, how am I not going to be one of those businesses that opens up and then in 2 years or 1 year or whatever has to close down? And that led me on the path that where I am today, immersing myself in marketing and getting a better understanding of where we are in today's market. Just kept getting me invited to different marketing panels and talking to people about marketing and learning it for myself, that the coffee shop that I was planning on opening did not happen. Like, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And I took that as a message that, look, this is not your path. This is what got you here. And I've been, you know, working with small businesses and entrepreneurs ever since, helping them you know, get from where they are to where they want to be with today's different marketing, with marketing techniques that work today.
That's awesome. And gosh, there's so many little learning points in that. And just to point out a few to our listeners, is we've got to be willing to take a risk. You've got to be willing to put yourself out there. And sometimes that path that you take isn't always the path that's going to be leading you where you go. It's just sort of that. It's that intermittent time that sometimes you don't know exactly where you're going to land. And so be willing to put yourself out there, follow a path, but know that just because that doesn't work doesn't mean any kind of failure at all. It's just led you to where you are today. And I think so many people would have just said, no, I am making this coffee shop work. And they get stuck in that, if I don't, then I have failed, versus, you know what, this has led me to what I really want to do. And I think it's being aware and being open to what's on your heart and following that instead of what's the right thing to do is what do I need to do for me. So those were all my learning points that I took out of that.
Yeah. No, and that was great. And you know, what's funny is, if you would have asked me when I left my corporate job in 2012, if this is what I would be doing, I guess it's not so far-fetched. I mean, it's not like I took a total left-hand turn out of the blue, but it definitely was not what I had planned.
Great. Well, tell us, how has this business now shaped your lifestyle?
Yeah, well, you know, that's an interesting question. My work life and personal life have always been so intertwined. I've never been one of those 9-to-5ers. You know, I'll play while I'm working and I work while I play. And I had that luxury in corporate America, because of being part of a startup. And, you know, I got to really call my own shots, if you will. So what I learned years ago for me in my life is, to really keep my priorities straight. And, you know, for me, you know, God comes first, and then family, and then serving others. And I look at serving others as profit and nonprofit. So when I serve others, I can do that, you know, as a friend, and obviously just as a friend. And when I serve others in my career and in my business, you know, obviously I need to pay the bills. So that's kind of how I structure my business lifestyle. My business lifestyle and my personal life are really entwined.
I think for most entrepreneurs, that is the case. They just love what they're doing. And and then that shows through in their relationships and in the way that they just live their life. So tell us, what are one or two of your greatest skill sets that you feel have contributed to owning your own business or your success?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would say the first thing that comes to mind is that I really have, and I've been told this, that I have this unique ability to turn chaotic circumstances into something that is palatable or simplify it in people's businesses. So I guess you could say I work, you know, well under pressure, and I'm able to, you know, help businesses through chaotic times. And then probably the other one would be, I enjoy and I see opportunities or possibilities that others don't see while they're in the workplace. And I don't know if that's so unique, because I think people can, from the outside looking in, can, you know, give people advice that when you're in the forest, you know, you can't see the trees through the forest type thing. But I would say that those two things work hand in hand. And I enjoy working with people, helping them turn those blind spots into profitable opportunities.
And then I know that you shared here, not confusing perfection with completeness. And I was excited to have you share that. So,
Yeah, I'll share that. I didn't want to go on too long about that. But right. So I'm a Virgo. I'm a type A personality. I can get really used to get really tied down with, it has to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, how can I expect to call myself a professional? Why would anyone hire me? And, you know, I've learned, and this is a learn, the other two were probably more natural, but this was something I had to learn over the years, is not to confuse the two. So doing a complete job does not mean it has to be perfect. You know, as long as I lay my head down every night and know that I did the best for my client, did the best for whoever's in my life at the time, that's all I can do. And if something happens that is not perfect, all I can do is try to fix it the best that I can do and make sure that it's complete. And I bump into that, you know, if not daily, pretty, at least weekly with, you know, for instance, I'm dealing with a client right now where everything that could go wrong went wrong. And I can feel bad about it, and I can, you know, hide from it, or, you know, just decide not to talk to the client and quit the job. But no, you know, I have plan A, B, C, and D lined up. And although it's really uncomfortable right now because one of my team members kind of dropped the ball, at least I can show the client, okay, you know, here's what we're going to do to fix it. And we're not going to hit the deadline, but here's the new deadline. And I can feel good about that.
I think that's a really important lesson. I know it's, for me, the one that I've struggled with over the years, is that I get so wrapped up in the perfection of it. Oftentimes I don't even start. Then that is a big Achilles heel, and that sabotages any success going forward. So I think that that's really good for a lot of our listeners to hear, that you keep pushing forward. And if you got to change direction, change gears, that's okay, as long as you are moving forward, getting the job done. And that is what I think people oftentimes lose sight of.
Well, and just to amplify that point, you know, especially being an entrepreneur, your time is very valuable. And, you know, that was a big transition for me, being paid, I'm going to say hourly, not really hourly, I was paid salary, but my time was valued at a certain hour. Rate per hour. And I could spend, you know, 80 hours on something. It didn't matter. I was still getting paid. But as an entrepreneur, your time is really valuable. And again, this is not to say that you do a sloppy job, but you can spend too much time on a task that's not bringing that doesn't matter, that at the end of the day, you might feel really good about it, but does your client really care? And, you know, really looking at what you're doing to make sure that you're not getting so hung up on everything being perfect that then you're missing out on other opportunities.
Right. So share with us an obstacle or challenge that you faced and how you worked through that.
Well, probably my biggest challenge was leaving my corporate job. You know, again, it was, when I look back, I had a really nice gig. I came and went as I pleased. I traveled, you know, I made a really nice salary and I made the choice to leave. And so that's a big choice to make. And then when it didn't work out like I thought, it was tough. You know, it was really tough. And how I worked through it was just continually seeking to be around what I consider the best in what I was trying to do. So when I was trying to open up that coffee shop, I surrounded myself around all of the best people that I could to make it as successful as possible. How that translates to where I am now is, you know, I am constantly seeking out the right leaders to follow, the people who are on the cutting edge of what's happening in marketing. And business growth, not just marketing, but business growth. And I don't only just learn from them through masterminds and going to their events, but if there's certifications in something that I feel is of a great value to my business and that I can bring to people, I invest in that. So, you know, I invest my time and I invest my resources in learning from the best who are out there so then I can bring that to my clientele.
That's awesome. So tell us, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
You know, when I think about that question and I close my eyes for a moment and I say, what really, you know, jazzes me? What really gets me going? And that's just really seeking out opportunities and not just seeking them out, but really being part of the different opportunities that other entrepreneurs and business owners, you know, move forward with and make it successful. I love being part of that. I love seeing, you know, taking something that was small and making it big, or even taking something big and bringing it back into the right size, you know, just so that owner, that business owner, the entrepreneur sees their vision coming to fruition.
So in now having your own business, you pretty much are able to create the lifestyle that you want. I'm sure that plays a part in working from your happy place.
yeah, it does. And you know, it's on a personal note, you know, my son is in high school. I'm able to wake up in the morning and still make his lunch and make his breakfast and drive him to school and not have that rush of, you know, did I shower beforehand? You know, the little things of corporate America that, you know, you had a plan so much more specifically than the entrepreneurial life where, you know, I can take a meeting in my pajamas on the way home from dropping him off at school. And I can be more relaxed about it. I think that's probably the key there is that I can be more relaxed and be more present with my family and with my friends.
So tell us something, share with us something you're extremely proud of.
Yeah, I've got a list of, not a huge list, but I there's several things that I can't pick what's I'm most proud of. But first of all, my family. I have the most supportive, loving, giving mom and dad that anyone could ever ask for. You know, I mentioned my son a few moments ago. We are so polar opposite, but what I marvel about him is that what I used to consider his stubbornness is really him just being determined to stand strong for what he believes in. And, you know, I like to believe that, you know, all too often I think parents, when kids go down the wrong path, they say, hey, what did I do wrong? But when they're going down the right path, they don't necessarily say, hey, I did something right. So I like to take credit at least a little for that. You know, just making that leap from my corporate career into, this world of entrepreneurship, it would have been a lot easier to stay where I was, although it was so hard and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't stay there any longer. So something prompted me to move, but it would have been so much easier to stay in that cush job and not venture out as I have. So I am proud that I took that risk and that it's turned out, nicely. And then, you know, specifically in this last year, I'm really proud of all of the clients that I've worked with, who have achieved, international or bestseller status. I heard someone say once a while ago, the only thing better than being a number one bestseller is helping your client and seeing your client get to the same status. And there, it could not be anything more true to see the excitement, for my clients who get that status is, I'm on cloud nine for at least a week or two afterwards.
Just to give our listeners a little bit of insight, Carrie was, the person who helped me launch Direct Selling for Dummies. And I couldn't be more happy and thrilled with the working relationship that we had, but then of course the end result. And it was that first week when we got all those stats on that book, I just sat there and thought, oh my gosh, this is for real. This has happened. Mm-hmm. And you were awesome throughout that, but you also carried my vision of where I wanted to go with it, with your strategies that you had in place. And so it just really was, it was the most awesome thing ever. Like, I'll never forget that feeling. I can picture it and sitting in that chair on Sunday night and you reaching out to me and saying we were number one in five categories in four countries. And I'll probably never forget that. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's euphoric. I mean, it really is. And until you've gone through it, and like I said, every time I go through it with a client, it never gets boring. It never, the excitement is there. And, I'm proud of that for my clients and for me as well.
So tell us, what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Oh boy. Okay. First, embrace failure. It's going to happen. Don't beat yourself up about it. There's plenty of people who've written plenty of books about it. Failure is just moments away from turning into opportunity. And you have to be ready to look at it that way. Otherwise, failure can just engulf you and really paralyze you. I would say also know that I had to learn this the hard way, I think. But know that entrepreneurship is really a test of endurance. It's a long game. You know, we hear these stories, these overnight success stories. Well, you know, if you look at any of these overnight success stories, there was things that led up to it. It wasn't just they woke up one morning, I guess other than winning the lottery, but even then they took steps. They had to go and buy the tickets and, watch the numbers. And, just know that it's a test of endurance. It's look for the long game. And this is another point that kind of struck me, caught me off guard as I ventured into entrepreneurship, is that it's lonely. Even though I surrounded myself around people, it's just you and your business. And although I surround myself around people who look out for me and my business, it's still me and my business. It's not the same as working in a corporation. So again, to combat that, surround yourself around as many like-minded people as possible, invest in masterminds, invest in events that, you can bounce ideas off of people who are going to tell you the truth. They don't care if they hurt your feelings, type thing. And I still battle with this, and I think this is human nature, but really try not to compare your success to others, especially with where we are with social media. It's so easy to look online, without even trying, and seeing, someone who, whether they're your competitor or they're, an indirect competitor. Well, how come they have more followers than I do? Or how come this, it's your journey, it's your path. And, that can be a slippery slope. I think it can get you off your vision, off your goal, have you change directions without even realizing it. So stick to you and don't worry about what other people are doing as far as successes. I would say treat your vendors well. Your vendors can make you or break you. I'm referred to an issue that I was having this week, and if this one vendor, if we didn't have such a great working relationship, I would have been more in a tough spot than what I am now. So I pay my vendors really quick. I don't play that game of all the checks in the mail type thing. You know, I really believe in treating your vendors, like all people, with respect, but just making sure that I keep that relationship at the utmost integrity. And probably the biggest thing, and I have to remind myself of this every day, don't forget to look in the rearview mirror. You know, I envision entrepreneurship traveling from California to New York. And if you're starting in California and your goal is New York, it's a long drive. But as you're heading out of California and into Arizona and, you know, through the states, don't forget to look and you keep envisioning, oh my gosh, I still have over 2,000 miles to go. If you look in the rearview mirror, you can see the progress that you've made, and it can really help reset any negative mindset that you're having. And kind of just, it helps me stay in check every day. So I would say definitely don't forget to look in the rearview mirror.
You made two really awesome points. And one is not comparing yourself to others. And that's one of the things that I open every seminar with. It's your success story, and you have to create it, and you have to know what it is and move toward that. And mm-hmm. I think that so many people don't create their own success story. They don't have that vision of what they want. They just keep looking at what other people have done and saying, well, I want that. And mm-hmm. I want that. And then it becomes really easy to compare yourself to others. I know when I first started speaking, I said and I stated, I want to do 8 speaking gigs a month. That's where I was in my life. And I even wrote up at the top of my date book, 8 will make you great. And I wrote it on every calendar, 8 will make you great. And so I was actually doing that. I was doing sometimes 8, 9. Sometimes I would take 10 because another month might be 7. But I was doing it and doing it successfully. But there was a woman who started speaking about the same time as me. And she was doing like 20 seminars a month. And I started getting so aggravated about this. And I would see all of her dates online. And I would hear about she's here, she's there, she's everywhere. And I started getting really mad about it, sort of depressed about it. And then I had to stop and say, do you want to hold 20 speaking gigs in a month? No way. I've got 2 kids. I'm involved in a couple of other activities. I was teaching at the high school at the time, private drum lessons. And it was like, you know what? I'm loving my life. And this is what my boundaries that I set for me to be successful. These are my boundaries. And so I finally had to let it go. It didn't matter what she was doing. That's her journey. If that's what she wants to do, and that's her goal. And I just think that everybody does this, but when you get lost in it the most, if you don't define, you know, what's my success story? What's going to be good for me? What do I want to achieve? And it could be on the smallest of scales. But if you're doing that, then you are achieving that level of success and you are living your success story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's huge.
So true. Yeah. So true. And it just, you know, again, just to kind of amplify your point, if you're spending all that time thinking about that other person, that's not time you're thinking about you and your own business. And quite honestly, also the other thing that, makes me kind of chuckle about this topic is, believe it or not, whether you know it or not, there are people that are looking at you that are comparing themselves to you, wishing they could be like you. And, you know, not that should make you feel any better, but, you know, it's human nature. But whenever I start to feel myself going down that path, I have to get myself back on track and say, no, this is what I'm working towards. It doesn't matter what they're working towards, and I'm good with that.
Right. The other thing that I want to mention is about vendors, because I think some people on the phone or on this call or this podcast will say, I don't totally fully understand what she means, or I don't really have vendors. And so I thought I would bring it to sort of a point that everyone can understand. So I have used a local printer ever since 1982. And I went to him at the very beginning when I first was just in my own little direct sales business before I became a speaker. And he's helped transition with me all through the way. And he is a little bit more expensive. And I have had so many people say to me, oh my gosh, get a different printer. Oh my gosh, he charges way more. You could go to this discount place, or you could go here and get this. And I'm like, you know what? It's not that much more. And I have a relationship with him. And on one particular occasion, it's been actually more than one, but on one particular occasion, we were in Chicago doing an event and I completely ran out of everything. And I still had another 8 days or 7 days of this conference to go. And it's like, oh my gosh, we can't be completely wiped out of everything right now. And I called him and I said, we have got to get this and we've got to have it by tomorrow. And I'm going to shoot somebody driving home from Chicago back to Michigan. And he worked all night and got all of that printed so that we had enough materials going forward for the next 7 days, which continued to move our sales. And there isn't a lot of people at some discount facility, or that you were just always trying, not building a relationship and trying to find the next best deal, that would have worked all through the night till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to finish a job so that you could have it for your clients. And I have never forgotten that. And I continue to, you give him all my business and send others there. And he continues to try to give me the best prices that he can. And as he's grown, my prices have gotten better and more competitive. But I stuck with him because what's really, I didn't understand it or realize it at the time, but we laugh about it now, is that was the first year he opened, was in 1982 as well. So he and I have grown together in that. Yeah. And it's fun to see where it's gone. But I thought I would just relate that back. I one time had someone, we live in a small town, and someone said, I can't believe, because a lot of times stores will close, and we had this little actual business office supply store, which was really nice. And I loved it that it was just right up the street, like literally, because we live in a small town. So for me to get to any major store like a Staples or anywhere is a half hour. So I loved it. And I had all these people complaining, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe they're closing. They've only been, not even been opened a year. And I'm like, how many times did you go there? How many times did you buy your business supplies there? Well, it was cheaper for me to go to Staples. I would wait till I could go in. I go, well, then how do you think a local business owner is going to stay in business if you don't support them? So just to bring home a couple of points about that, I think sometimes we don't take the responsibility ourselves for treating our local vendors, our local community business owners, if we want that business to stay there. So I appreciated you saying that.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. No. And it's just something that I've always believed in. You know, I think that that was instilled in me early in life, and it really came in handy knowing and understanding that branching off into the entrepreneurship world, because it's important. You know, just, I think sometimes people think, well, I'm paying them, they need to serve me, and they do. But if you build that relationship that you talked about, then in an interesting way, they become partners. You and this printer, in a weird sort of way, are partners in growing your business and you growing his business. And if you can kind of look at it that way, it kind of takes that entitlement feeling away from it, and it helps have a more cohesive relationship, which will benefit you in the future. Because like you said, you know, you needed him and he stepped up, and probably any other printer, if they would have done it, they would have probably charged you triple or who knows how much. But you know, you got it done, and you trusted him and he trusted you. So I think that's really important.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It has just been delightful. And I know that our listeners are going to walk away with some really great nuggets that you shared today. And I just want to personally thank you for being part of our launch with this podcast, because you have touched my life in a very, very special way. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you. This is great. You know, I'd love to know that people are out there interested in hearing about this sort of thing and bettering their lives. So I'm happy to be part of it. And I am honored that we were able to make this work. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody. That's a wrap. Remember to work from your happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.